And welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. A Michigan State University anthropologist who spent more than a year infiltrating the black market of organ trafficking, now publishing the first in-depth study describing what those who sell their organs go through. Monir Monirouzaman is an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology and the Center for Ethics and Humanities in the Life Sciences at MSU. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for inviting me.
Now, what is the position of most governments when it comes to the sale of human organs? Is it universally illegal?
It is almost every country in the world is being outlawed.
When it comes to your study, where were you looking and where does most organ trafficking occur?
It's happening in various countries. So I looked at in Bangladesh, where basically my native land. And so I looked at the underground market of human organs. So basically looking how, buyers are coming from overseas and basically sellers are poor Bangladeshis and their operations are being performed in different countries like India, Singapore, Thailand, and within Bangladesh too. So it's basically happening in transnational borders, and many different groups are basically involved with this trade.
So how does this work? How do the sellers get recruited, and how are they connected with the organ buyers?
So basically, there are a couple of ways. So the poor villagers in a remote village in Bangladesh, they are basically entrapped by organ brokers. So basically, brokers and their agents are basically recruiting those people from different villages in Bangladesh. And newspaper ads are basically one of the way to recruiting those people. So the ads basically appear on national newspaper, Bengali national newspaper, that people are donating their organs, but basically it's buying and selling. So this, for example, one ad mentioned from the United States, the recipient is from the United States. She posted an ad on a Bengali newspaper that the donor, if donor gave a kidney, basically the donor can come to United States. So the poor Bangladeshi, he doesn't know what a kidney means. All he can understand that if he donate a kidney, he can come to United States, getting a visa. So that's basically tempted them to donate one of their body parts. So that's the way these people are being recruited.
It sounds like the buyers then are directly reaching out to potential sellers. Doesn't there need to be some kind of a match when it comes to donating an organ?
That's right. There are blood group matching. So the blood is not the only criteria. The tissue has to be matched. And so there are three different tissues, A, B, C, and certain proportion has to be matched to donate an organ. So basically that's where the broker emerged, basically, because the broker I interview, he has 200 HLA reports in his hand, which is HLA means the tissue typing reports. So the buyer, basically, it's very difficult for them to find each, to do the tissue typing test with each seller. So it's a complicated process. So basically, they directly contact to the brokers, and brokers has their tissue typing ready in their hand. So it's very easy to find those perfect match through brokers. So that's why broker is basically the major means to basically find, recruit those people from the villages.
I'm talking to Monir Monirouzaman. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology at Michigan State University on his new report, which tracks the black market of organ trafficking that is worldwide now. How much do those who sell their organs usually make?
The average quoted price is $1,500, but in my study, the 33 sellers I interview, they are promised to get $1,500, but exactly 80% or so, the seller didn't receive the full amount that they were promised. For example, one case, the seller received only $600, although he was promised $1,500 from the broker. So the broker basically didn't pay his money because all the money is being given after the donation, not before the donation, because these poor people can run away with the money. So basically nobody trusted them. But after the transplantation, it unfolded in a very different way. So prices, market prices, $1,500, but seller didn't basically receive the money what they're being promised.
Well, other than kidneys, then are other organs also being sold?
Yeah, their liver is the liver market is emerging right now. And recently, I interviewed a liver seller, and broker basically entrapped this 23-year-old boy from a northern part of Bangladesh. And the seller was, the liver seller. He was, the broker told him that donating a liver is better than donating a kidney because liver regenerates, but kidney, once it's removed, is gone forever. So basically, the broker entrapped that, it's better to donate a liver than donating a kidney. So this boy didn't know what a liver means. All he could know that he would be wealthy by selling his liver. So he was entrapped, and he ended up selling his liver. So liver is in the market right now. And I found during the research, there is a newspaper ad where a poor woman from Bangladesh, she posted a newspaper ad for selling one of her corneas. So basically, live corneas is not, from cadavers. It's living people, and their different body parts are on the market right now.
Well, in terms of the buyers, is it clear, are most of them from Europe? Are they American, or are they just rich Asians?
It's happening in different countries in different form. Where there are cases where wealthy Americans, they are going overseas because there is a long waiting time in here to receive kidneys, to receive any organ. So there is a long waiting time to bypass the time. So there are people who are going overseas to get that organ. But in my study where I revealed those 33 cases, all of the cases are basically Bangladeshi-born foreign nationals. So there is a case from a Bangladeshi-born American citizen from New York City. So he went to Bangladesh, recruited poor Bangladeshi, and his operation is being performed in Singapore. So basically, there are different countries that are involved, but my study so far, I came across these 33 cases. None of them are foreign white American, but it's basically Bangladeshi-born foreign nationals.
And for the transplant then to occur, does the buyer and seller need to be brought to a single hospital and has to happen right then and there?
Yes, it's happening in different countries. So the way it works, basically the papers are being fake. So I have a copy of passport copy and notary certificates. Basically, it appears that the donor, which is the poor Bangladeshi, and the recipients, they are family members. So it's happening as a donation. So donation is legal. Anybody can save a family, a loved one's life. So donation is legal. So it appears as a donation, but it's happening buying and selling, and the operation is being performed in different countries, including Bangladesh. There are hospitals that are involved, where mostly it happened in India. So most of the cases in India. There are cases that happen in Singapore, Thailand, Pakistan, so surrounding those countries. So that's the way it's happening, this technology.
For those who say, look, this is our bodies, every person can essentially do what they want with it, and if someone does want to sell an organ, that's their right to do so. What would you say to that?
That's a common question, people often ask. But, the autonomy, that concept is a purely Western concept, and it doesn't exist. It's utterly fictitious in the context of Bangladesh and many other parts of the world. And that's why research shows that it's not a choice that poor people are making. It's like how they are entrapped and lured and how they are portrayed. I even found a story. The broker is telling this poor people sleeping story that once kidney sleeps, another kidney is working. So you don't need two kidneys. One kidney is enough. So basically you can survive. So it's a win-win situation to sell a kidney. And these people doesn't know what a kidney means. All he can understand that he can come to United States, or there is, ad came out, newspaper ad, the person can come to Italy, have a citizenship or a visa. So all he can understand that he can come to those countries and have a better life. So where autonomy, belongs in this situation. So it's an utterly fictitious idea that, this is their choice. It's not their choice at the first place. They are basically entrapped. And on top of it, that when, a person is forced by poverty and how much autonomy a person can have in a situation where that's their last resort to basically get out of their poverty, right? So that's a, often we talk that it's a choice, it's an autonomous, decision making by those sellers, but that's my research shows that this is, it doesn't work in a situation like that.
Monir Monirzaman, an assistant professor of, in the Department of Anthropology at Michigan State University, talking about his new report on the black market of organ trafficking. Monir, thank you very much for taking some time to talk to us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
And we will be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.